Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody here today. I want to go over a few quick announcements as we get started with our worship this morning for some things that are going on. Don't forget, tonight at 5 p.m. we'll have our Bible classes. Adult class meets here in the auditorium. Family Bible class meets across the street in the Family Center. That's for our children's ministry and their parents. And then our teen class for 7th through 12th graders will meet in room 109. All those tonight at 5 p.m. We hope you can join us. You may have seen as you were coming into the auditorium today, there's some red sheets out there in the hallway. Those are for our youth group Christmas celebration that's coming up next Sunday, the 13th. It's going to be hosted by the Hearns. If you want to, you can just scan the QR code that's on those pages. Otherwise, you can go onto the church Facebook page, or you can go onto grahamstreetyouth.org, and there's the RSVP site that you can go to get that taken care of. So we'll be out there next Sunday from 4:30 to 6:30 for the youth group. Also want to remind everybody that coming up on Wednesday, December 16th, is the community Christmas dinner. It's going to be a little bit different this year just because of the circumstances around us. It's going to be very similar to the Night of 100 Casseroles. So it's all going to be to-go, all going to be drive-through. What we need from you guys is we're going to need some assistance in getting people through the parking lot over here when we get ready to do that. If you want to be a part of any way of helping, whether it's helping provide some of the desserts or being here to help hand out the food, deliver food, whatever it is, please contact Lee Jones and let him know that you are interested in helping out with that. But it's a wonderful way we have to be serving this community still. So make sure you mark that on your calendars. Wednesday, December 16th, we'll be doing the community Christmas dinner. Always make sure you're checking out the church website and Facebook page. Lots of updates and different things going on so that you guys can stay up to date. So if you have any questions about that, come and see me. We'll make sure we get you guys plugged into all of our online stuff that we have. You may have noticed there's a new face that was up here with us this morning. We have a guest with us today to help us with our worship. His name's John Bynum. So we're glad to have him here with us. Encourage you guys to really sing out today as we get to worship together. As we get ready to begin our worship, I know it's crazy to think it's already December, but the year is kind of flying by and then crawling by at the same time. But we're so glad that as we get into this time of the year, that we have the opportunity to worship together. So let's start our time today in prayer. Father, what a blessing it is to be here, to be together, and to be in your presence. Father, we're so grateful for the love and the mercy and the grace that you show to us each and every day of our lives. Father, as we have opportunity now to worship together, to pray together, to study together, and Father, to remember the sacrifice that you've given to us together, help us to be one in spirit, one in mind, and one in heart. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be your children, and again, for bringing us here to this place at this time. Be with us now. Open up our hearts, our minds, and our mouths to you as we worship. Father, may it be a joyful noise that comes from us. We thank you for loving us and for choosing us. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to sing about three songs here. We're going to put them together. Songs you know, songs that you love. Before we do this, I want to say one thing, and that is, you know, when Christ died, the Holy of Holies, in the temple that was separated by that veil was torn from top to bottom at Christ's death. And it was done that way so that we would have the ability to enter into his presence. And so this morning as we get into worship, as we start to sing and we sing these words, sing the words with your heart. Mean the words that you say, because you're coming before the throne of God pouring out your heart. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise for the God. God of all grace, who has born us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's reign, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Bring him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody here this morning. Thank you for being here. We have a lot going on, so let's be strong. Hang in there. Stand fast. Let me say just a couple of things about John. I appreciate John being with us and taking the time to be with us. We have been praying and appreciating the work of our first responders, and John is in the past has been one of those people. He's retired from that work right now, but he has been a police officer and a paramedic, and it's taken a toll on him. He's been through a lot of tough things and seen a lot of tough things, and it's taken a toll on his body. He would love to be able to spend some time in helping churches with their developing their worship, and I think that's a great passion, and I'd like to include praying for him in our prayer as we get ready to go into our lesson. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the church family. I think I appreciate this family and the whole worldwide family of the church more because of COVID. Maybe that's one of the blessings that's coming out of this, that maybe we'll not take it for granted in the future. Maybe we'll realize how very special it is to be this special family that you've called. And we know that we have a mission in the world to be a witness to the world of our great God that loves us so much that he would give his son. And we are witness to that son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we praise you. Thank you so much for being willing to go to the cross for us in our sin, in all that we are so evil in, and all that we do to mock your purpose. You still loved us and you went to that cross. And we thank you for the blessing in this family that we are bound together by a common DNA, the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We have so much to be thankful for. Help us to never take that for granted. And may we be your witnesses in the world about how you've blessed us. And as John has in his heart to help churches to better do that, to make their worship a part of that witness, that testimony, I ask, Father, that you'll bless him. Whatever you have in mind for him, help him to see it and to be able to walk into it, to walk with you, to join you in whatever it is you have in mind. I pray, Father, that he can put the trauma of the past behind him and learn from it, but put it behind him and to move forward in being able to share that story and being able to tell people of the great redemption that we have through Jesus and to help people to express it in their worship. I pray this morning, Father, for a blessing on me as I declare your word. May it be your words. May it bring you honor. Help me to get out of the way where I might interfere with it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited about a series of lessons that I want to do for this month of December as we prepare for Christmas, as we think about that great Christmas story of the birth of Jesus. I would like to do an attempt of presenting some lessons about the birth of Jesus, but I want to do it a little bit differently. The first one I'm going to do this morning goes back a whole lot before the birth of Jesus. I want to talk about how Jesus' journey of coming into this world came about, and what that means to us because he did come into the world, and how we share it with other people. The second lesson I want to do, and of course, you can't tell the story of the birth of Jesus without telling the story of Mary, but we leave out a lot. And I want to back up and tell about Mary's journey to giving birth to Jesus, but I want to tell you about how the journey continues. I want to even take it to the book of Revelation. And so you'll find this story that starts with Mary continues in the book. Maybe you didn't know that. So come back next week and you'll hear about it, how Mary is in the story of Mary is in the book of Revelation. The third journey that I want to focus on is that of the shepherds. It's kind of a combination of the shepherds and the angels. You can't tell the story of the shepherds without the angels. But I want to talk to you a little bit about why shepherds are especially important in the story of the birth of Jesus, and how that's part of the fulfillment of prophecy, and how that we all have a similar place in the story of Jesus. And then finally, the last, and you'll notice it's after Christmas, I'm going to tell the story again of the wise men and their journey to Bethlehem, except it's after Christmas, and there's a reason why I put it there after Christmas. And we'll talk more about why that's important that we understand and how it fits into the story. So that's my plan for us getting ready for Christmas. I hope you'll invite your friends to come and join us as we talk about the Christmas journey. This morning, though, I want to focus on the Logos, the Word, because that's really how the story of the birth of Jesus begins. The book of John goes back and starts there. Not with Mary and Joseph and the conflict, not with Elizabeth and John the Baptist. John begins the story where it really needs to begin, and that is before the beginning. He takes it all the way back to the Word, to God, before the world even came into existence. What I'd like to do with you this morning is start in Genesis chapter 1. Now, I know you think I'm about to say, and I'm going to preach all the way through the Bible this morning, but I'm not going to do that. But I am going to look at the first four verses of Genesis 1, and then we're going to go to John chapter 1. And you may want to have your Bibles open and look at it yourself as I read it, because John 1 takes from Genesis 1 to begin the story of Jesus. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only to bear witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone who comes into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, he was not recognized by the world. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of the grace that has already been given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in the closest relationship with the Father, and he has made him known." What was the purpose of the Logos coming into the world? The word that we translate word is the Logos. What was the purpose of it coming into the world? And notice the journey that the Logos has in coming into the world. He comes from God and comes to humanity. He comes from light and goes into darkness. He is spirit, but he becomes flesh. He is God's glory and grace and truth. And he never gives that up in coming into this world, but he comes into a sinful world that does not recognize God's glory and grace and truth. So why did he do it? When you think about the Logos, the Greek word logos, it has been used in a lot of ways, and it's still in our language today, although we might not think about it. The translation that we have, that I just read, and most of your Bibles have, logos is translated word, and that is a proper translation. But sometimes it's confusing, because the thing we think about in word is words that make up sentences, a combination of vowels and consonants that make up words that teachers gave to us in elementary school to stump us at spelling tests. Those are words. But that's not the word that the Logos is. The Logos is a word that's a message. In my experience in preaching in the past, and particularly in one congregation that I think of that happened to be a predominantly black congregation, every morning before I would get up, they would introduce me as someone who would give a word from God today. Now, you know, there's no way I would get up and just give a word, one word. What they were saying is I was going to give a message from God, a word from God. That's one of the meanings of Logos. Another meaning of Logos is the word from which we get logic. It makes sense. Logical, isn't it, that it's connected to logic? It's almost spelled the same. Logos means the logic or the reason behind something. What's the logic behind that? Is it logical? And we're talking about God's logic. Why did God do what he did? Well, a simple answer to that is because he loved us so. God loved us so much that he sent his only son into the world to save us. That we not face eternal damnation separated from God, that we could be reconciled to God. But that is explained in the logic of God. Thirdly, logo comes from logos. You know what a logo is. Even our church has a logo that represents the Graham Street Church of Christ. It's a tree with leaves on it. And we talk about our mission statement of being a church that's involved in helping people to be rooted and growing and reaching. And we have that symbol that represents us, that logo that represents us in a tree. And we have a lot of verses about trees in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that logo makes sense. It's an important thing for businesses. People work really hard to try to have a logo that represents their business. It's a symbol that people can identify and know that business does this, and you recognize their logo because of it. It's on our stationery. We put it on our writing instruments. We put it on the side of our cars. You know, it's on signs. Logos send a message as a symbol of what it stands for. Jesus, in coming into this world as God's Son, is the Word, the message of God. He's that Logos because he brings God's message. But he doesn't send it through an angel. He doesn't send it by some kind of lightning strike in the world, and that's supposed to mean something. He comes in person to deliver the message of God in the flesh. He also came into this world to show us God's reasoning, his logic. He didn't just say, hey, the reason why God did what he did was because this is the logic of God. This is why he gave you the Ten Commandments. This is why he chose the nation of Israel. This is why he did, and you can name it. Jesus came in person to show you the logic of God. God loves you so much that he sent his son into the world to die for you. That's how much he loves you. That's the logic of God. And Jesus is God's logo. Remember, in the Ten Commandments, we're not supposed to make any graven image of God. We're not supposed to worship idols. It's forbidden for us to make up a logo for God in the Old Testament. And they had a real problem with that because all the other religions had their images. They had their idols. Or you could say they had their logos for their God. And God said, don't do that with me. I think God was saving a special time when he would send his own logo into the world. And it was Jesus. He was the symbol of God that would help us through humanity, through flesh, to recognize God. That's God. If God were a human being, that's what God would look like. And instead of putting it on stationery, he stamped it in this world of sin. This is God. This is how much God loves you. So this morning, I want us to think about how, if this is such a good plan, how do we get the message out to other people? How do we help people to hear it? How do we help people to understand it? Why Jesus came into this world? One of the things that we're doing is, in celebrating Christmas and talking about the birth of Jesus in connection with Christmas, we're getting the message out. We're sending a message. We take advantage of the opportunity of our culture to be able to celebrate a time of Jesus' birth. Because if he did not come in the flesh, it would not have sent the message that God wanted us to hear. But I might ask you this: how did the early church get that message out? Long before there was the celebration of Christmas, the church had the responsibility of getting this message out. How did they do it? How did the early church do it? And you say, well, they had the Word of God. But how did they have the Word of God? I think we take for granted the blessing that we have of the written page of the Bible, of the benefit of being able to have the Bible on our cell phones and on our iPads and so forth. You know, this is an incredible tool. I wish I had had this years ago, especially while I was going through graduate school. This would have been such a blessing. You know, I have over 50 translations of the Bible on my iPad in different languages. I have the entire Old Testament in Hebrew on this little device here. I have the entire New Testament in Greek on this little device. That is so amazing. Somebody asked me a question about, well, what was the Greek word for that? Well, I can tell you. I can find it. It's not because I'm so smart. It's here. I can get a hold of it. I know where I can get my hands on it. But the church didn't start that way. In fact, we're blessed to live in this period when we have printing presses and we have mass communication and we have the internet and so forth. But we need to remember that this is a new phenomena in comparison to all the time of the existence of the human race on this world, the time when there is the ability for individuals to have the Word of God is a very, very small piece of that history. I mean, think about it. Even literacy, to the level that we have it now, is a small piece of history. In most times of history, most people were not able to read. They had to depend on other people who could read and write. And how Scripture came into the written word is a phenomena that is miraculous. When you think about the fact that God commanded Moses to write down the law that he was given, understand that that was an amazing feat. Probably one of the reasons why Moses was chosen is because he was literate. He had learned not only the Egyptian way, but he had learned the Hebrew way. He was a very intelligent man who was able to read and write. But how many of the Hebrew slaves that were on their way through the wilderness to go to the promised land, how many of them do you think actually could read and write? And even if they could, how would you get a copy of the law to them? I mean, you had to come up with something to put it on. Vellum, animal skins, papyri to put it on. And then you had to come up with some kind of ink that would not fade away, that would last. And then you had to go through the laborious process of copying word for word this document. Can you imagine how long that took? At the time when the church started, very few people could read and write. And there certainly weren't copies of the New Testament for every church to have one. In fact, it wasn't until the 400s that they even brought all the documents that make up the New Testament together into one collection. And there was even debated then about how you do that and what belongs and all that sort of thing. And it certainly wasn't available to all the churches. So how do you get the word out to people? The message of God's word, especially the message of the Logos, the message of Jesus Christ and God's love, the logic of God, the logo of God. How do you get that out to people? What I want to suggest to you this morning, and I'm so grateful to have John with us this morning, who is a gifted singer, and he can help us as we sing. But I want to suggest to you this morning that we have underestimated the value of song in the spreading of the gospel. In the early church, they practiced what was an old tradition of the prophets. And as the prophets would preach the message of God, they would do it in a poetic, sing-song way of doing it. In fact, those who are gifted in Hebrew, in reading Hebrew, and I'm not one, they can even give you a sense of that. Not even knowing the language, not knowing what those Hebrew words mean, someone who is gifted in reading Hebrew, there are so many places in the prophets where you can pick up on a cadence and a rhythm to it that helps you to listen. And if you knew the language of Hebrew, it would help you to memorize Scripture. The traditions of the story of the Old Testament were passed on by oral tradition to the large extent. And while there were more and more copies being made of the Old Testament Scripture, for the most part, the people of the Hebrew nation of Israel had to depend on the oral tradition being passed down, and it was passed down in song. And it's easier, you know this, it's easier to memorize words to something if you can put it in song. My wife, and she's passed this on to my daughters, back in the days when she was leading our Bible hour at church, she would teach the kids how to memorize the scriptures that were their memory verse by singing it. And they would sing it over and over. And it was a lot faster to memorize through it being in a tune than it was through just trying to over and over say those words again. Now, I didn't try to join her in doing that because I was afraid it would really mess up their memory banks if I tried to sing a tune. But it really helps. Do you hear songs on television, like for example with commercials, and you know exactly what the words are going to be that they're going to say because it has a tune behind it that you remember and you associate with it? In the early church, there are places that scholars feel like there is in the Greek language a certain rhythm and cadence about the way the passage is put together. There's also a hint that it's song-like because of the way Paul changes his writing. He'll be writing along and he's making a point. He's being very logical. He's being very judicious about his words, very careful about how he's wording things, making it, quoting from Old Testament scripture and so forth. And then all of a sudden, bang, he breaks out in this praise that seems almost out of context. You know, for example, there's this beautiful passage in Ephesians chapter 3 where he's telling the church about the gospel message of how Jesus was sent into the world and how he brought together the Jews and the Gentiles and how we become the church and how God's wisdom is being made known in the world through the church. And then all of a sudden he says, and therefore I drop down on my knees and I praise God. And he goes into a praise. There are places where the journey of the Logos becoming flesh is put into song. And I want you to help me tell the story this morning by saying the words with me. When you see something on the screen that's in yellow, I want you to read it out loud with me. We'll do our best to try to stay together. Sometimes I get wound up and I go faster or slower than I should. But I believe the early church did this in a rhythmic way of helping people to learn the Word of God so that they could share it with others. And in fact, and you study it for yourself, compare the Spirit coming upon the prophets in the Old Testament to the way Paul describes the Spirit coming upon people in the church, for example, in 1 Corinthians 14. The Spirit didn't just inspire the words. The Spirit inspired being able to sing the words so that the church would learn it and the church would be able to pass it on. So I'm going to take a few examples this morning and say it with me when we get to the yellow part, okay? The first one I want to look at is Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. Beautiful, beautiful story of the Logos' journey. God the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son He loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile everything to Himself by making peace through the blood of His cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine in the Greek language reading Paul's letter and you get to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, and the reader begins in a sing-song cadence, begins to share this with the church. And maybe he said, church, let's go back over that again. And they do it again and again. And they go home with a song in their heart, not just in their head, because they've memorized the Word of God. And then here's another one. This is probably my favorite. Philippians chapter 2 is in a very succinct, short way. It tells you the journey of the Logos into the world. Have this mind of Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held tight, but He emptied Himself by assuming the role of a servant, being born in the likeness of a human. And when He had become a man, join me, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and those on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, brothers and sisters, you memorize that. And whether you could read or write, it wouldn't make any difference. You go out of church one morning after you sing this with the church, and you go out and you sing it to your neighbors. And in that little song is the gospel. It's the message of God's grace. Isn't that powerful? I asked you a moment ago, what was the purpose of the Logos coming into the world? I draw your attention back to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says that Jesus came as the Son of God into the world, and if we believe in Him, we're given the right to become the children of God. whatever the purpose of the Son of God coming into this world was, it becomes our purpose as the sons and daughters of God. So we become God's word, God's message. We become the logic of God in person. It's not just handing them a book. It's not just preaching them a sermon. We personally, in the flesh, like Jesus came in the flesh, we become God's message. We become God's logic. We become God's logo. They look at us and they hear what God is doing in the world. God loves you. God loves you. And He does not want to spend eternity without you. Listen to the story. And if we could just say to them, Philippians 2, 6 through 11, we could tell them the Logos journey. We could share with them the gospel. I want to close with this one. This one means a lot to me because I think what's happening here is Paul knows he's about to die. You come to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and he says, I'm ready. I know I've come to the point of being offered as a sacrifice to God. I'm not going to live much longer. And he's writing to his beloved young minister that he has trained, and he's giving him a final message. And he's reminding him what he needs to preach. Now, this is an important part of Scripture because this is the last time Paul is going to be able to be an influence on Timothy. And while he's begging him, come quickly, come before winter, he knows that there's a real good possibility Timothy is not going to make it to Rome before he is executed. And so Paul wants to finish out his teaching to Timothy about what he needs to preach. And this is what he does. And read with me when I get to the yellow. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made clear to us through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Timothy, of all the things you can preach, this is what you need to preach. And it's laid out in this cadence, this sing song. He's not only telling Timothy what to preach, he's giving him a little poetry. Do this, Timothy. Give them this song. Tell them of the Logos journey. And he's telling Timothy, preach to them that they can be on this journey with Jesus. Because it ends in victory. It ends up with us being in heaven with God someday because we're on the Logos journey. And you can too. You may feel isolated. You may feel like your life is not making sense right now. You may feel like this is just the worst time you've ever lived in your life. I'm telling you, if you'll join in this journey, if you will join the Savior in His journey, it'll make sense. It's God's logic. God has a word for you. He has a message for you. I love you, and I proved it to you through my Son Jesus. And you will become God's logo. You will be His symbol in the world. You want to know what God is about? Look at me. I've been redeemed. I've been reconciled. I've been forgiven. My life did not make sense, and now it makes sense through Jesus. This is what you need. This will make all the difference in the world. Join on this journey. God is calling you. I love the song we're about to sing. This song tells the story. It tells the journey. And it invites you to be a part of that journey. As John leads us in this song, make it your story. Make it your journey. It's the only hope you have in this crazy world that we live in. John, would you lead us, please?
In Christ alone, my hope is found. Here in the light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God through helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world in darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine. Brought from the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final death, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no schemes of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Amen. All right, we're going to get our minds more focused towards communion. With this next song. And as we enter this, I want you to put yourself at the feet of God as we get ready for the bread and the blood that cleanses us. Come to the table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation. Receive from his nail-scarred hands. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb. Come at the Lord's invitation. Receive from his nail-scarred hands. Eat of the bread of salvation. Come on and drink of the blood of the Lamb.
As we come to this point now of why we've gathered together, this moment to remember something that gives us the reason to do everything else that we have been doing today. I love in the Gospel of John that there's several chapters that are devoted just to the final evening that Jesus spends with his followers. Starting in John 13, where we see him washing his disciples' feet, to telling them that there's a comforter that's on the way, that's going to be there, that's going to be with them. Even up to the point in John 17 where he's praying for the church and praying for the unity that we will have. And I love that thought that sometimes people say, well, Scripture doesn't speak to us today. But Jesus directly speaks to us in those moments because we are his followers. And he tells them of what he's about to do. And now we have the opportunity to remember the sacrifice that he made. What would happen to his body, that it would be bruised and beaten and tortured for our behalf. Let's pray together. Father, as we have this opportunity now to remember the great sacrifice that you made for us, to give your son, to hand him over to this world, Father, so that one day we could still be with you. We thank you that your plan was in place from the beginning of time. And Father, that you have looked at us and that you have called us worthy of that sacrifice. Father, now as we partake of this bread, may we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we might be with you. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
We're going to sing a song to prepare our minds as we partake of the blood. And this is a song that you're going to know. It's a song that you have sang many times in church. You probably won't even have to see the words, but I want to do a couple of things different in this song this time. We're going to sing Nearer Still Nearer, okay? And when we do, I want you to sing it as softly as you can. I want you to feel the words. I want you to pour those words out to God. And when we get into the third verse, the words will be up there, but I don't want you to sing the words. I want you to just sing, ooh. And it'll be something like, ooh, ooh. Okay? So we'll get started here. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious. Close me, oh, close me, close to thy breast, shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, nothing as not as an offering to Jesus, my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Ooh. Father, it hurts me to think of all the times I fail you, the times I let you down, the times when I choose to ignore your will for me and decide to do things my way. But Lord, I know no greater joy in life than the times I've given all to you. So I pray with every decision I make and every step I take, I'll always remember, you're my God. Give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified, nearest. Through endless ages, ever to be nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee.
One of the greatest parts about this story is that it doesn't end with a bruised, beaten, dead body, but that it ended in resurrection. And that blood that was spilled for us is what allows us that opportunity to be with God again one day. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for your willingness, for the willingness of your Son to follow your plan. Father, we're grateful for the blood that he shed for us, that blood that washes us clean and makes us worthy and pure in your sight. Father, we're grateful for the love and the mercy and the grace that you continue to show to us. As we take this cup now, Father, may we always be mindful of the grace that comes from that blood. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the body of Christ here this morning. I appreciate the time that I've got to spend with the elders and with David and now with you all. You all are a wonderful, amazing body of Christ, and I'm blessed to be here. So let's sing some praise songs before we end this worship service. What do you say? Let's stand for this song. Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Amen. All right, one more. And shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people stand before his throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank everyone for being here this morning. By your presence here, you've been an encouragement and a blessing to us, and we hope you've been encouraged also. Thank you, John. Great job this morning. Thank you, David, for opening the word for us. I have one announcement I want to read before I go on. This is from Bob Doty. Fred Alford has been very ill for the last couple of months. He's going to the doctor soon for a biopsy on a knot in his throat. Please keep him and Kathy in your prayers. So let's remember that family. Now, each time we get into the Word, we understand that it's God-breathed, and it's all good. But sometimes in seasons of our life, there are words that kind of stick out to us and make a big impression. In Psalms 91, 5 through 6, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. There's many, many scriptures and verses about having no fear, and that's just one of them. It's a good message to remember going forward. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for this day, this opportunity you've given us to offer up this worship service through praise, through prayer, and through the feeding of your word. Father, we want to thank you for those people you put in our lives, those people from the past who taught us and guided us and showed us the way. You put those people in our lives today that influence us, encourage us to finish the race. Thank you for them, Father. Father, we pray today that you'd be with our nation, that our nations would look, our leaders would look to you for direction. Father, we're thankful for all that you do for us. I also want to say this morning that we know we go through this life. We have fears that fall before us. And we pray, Father, as we face the fears of this life, we would not let anything rob us from the joy and the peace and the hope that you have given us. Father, we're thankful for the church. We're thankful for those who take the gospel, the good news, throughout the world. We pray that you would bless them. We pray that you'd be with your body that meets here, Father, that you would be with the elders and give them wisdom in the decisions they make. Be with the ministers, the deacons, those that teach, all those that labor here. We're thankful, Father, for the brothers and sisters in Christ who are always here, that always encourage, that always are uplifting, that always look to you to be an example, and they do it in humility, Father. Thank you for them and what they mean to each of us. Father, we know that we do fall short. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. We ask you protect us from the evil one. You have told us the devil is going about trying to capture someone for himself like a roaring lion. Father, we pray that we would be alert, that we'd be diligent in what's around us, and our faith would stand firm. Father, we ask that you be with those families and those communities that are suffering sickness and illness, those are suffering because of fear of what's going on about them, those that suffered the loss of loved ones. Father, just bless them and heal them and give them hope. Father, be with those who are in the front line of the fight in this virus. Strengthen them, Father. We also pray that the vaccine that is being developed will be successful and be available to give to others soon. Father, as we leave here this morning, we pray that your presence and power go with us, that we would have the strength and the courage and the wisdom to live a life that you would have us live, a life that reflects you, a life that reflects mercy and love to others that you have shown for us. Pray that we would be the influence that you would have us be, that others would see us, that they would know, Father, that you are God, you are Almighty, you are the Creator, and we are made in your image. I thank you for forgiveness, for mercy, and for grace. Father, we know in our heart we don't deserve these. We fall short so many times, and yet you reach out to us, and you lift us up, and you choose us anyway. Thank you for that, Father. We pray that we would show the same forgiveness, mercy, and grace to others you have shown for us. We ask now that you be with us as we leave this place, that you would bring us back again, Father. We look forward to the time we can be together once again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for being here with us this morning. Don't forget, tonight, 5 p.m., we have our classes going on. Love to see you guys back for that. And as we go out into the world this week, know that we are the living word that gets to go out there, and people get to see Jesus in us. So have a great week. We'll have a song playing as we dismiss.